and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of October 29th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and safe from Hurricane Sandy, Melissa Hansen.
I am, but you're not.
No,
you're
not.
Right in the path of death and destruction.
Well,
or,
thankfully.
You know, a little bit of rain, depending which way this goes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be wind is more than everybody's concerned about than actual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we're far enough in off the seacoast. We're still considered seacoast, but we're far enough in that it's not going to worry about flooding. But no, New York City looks to be the one that's going to get hit the hardest.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all ends up. I mean, hopefully it's bad as is being predicted. But yeah, to all our listeners out there and our staff out there, please just stay safe.
Right, exactly. Okay, so do more innocuous things. How was your week in entertainment?
My week in entertainment was like a crack addiction.
Oh, that sounds problematic.
No, I actually have, yes, become addicted to a TV show that I watched on Hulu.
Oh.
And it's this might sound shocking to you. To me, it's not quite as shocking, but I'm addicted to a TV show from Spike TV.
I didn't know the network was still
operational. Yeah. And those of you that know me, you know, one of my all-time favorite shows is
MXC.
MXC. I got to get the initials right. From Spike.
Yes.
So it's not that shocking, but it's kind of surprising. Anyhow, the name of the show is Bar Rescue. It's a kitchen nightmares type show.
Oh.
It's the same formula. It's the same thing.
It's not Gordon Ramsay, is it?
No, it's this guy named John Taffer.
Okay.
And I guess he's like been in the bar business his whole life for 30 some years or whatever. And he's saved a million bars and he's just the bar genius, whatever. But it's the kind of thing. It's a failing bar that's about to go under. And so they call him up and are like, come save us, come save us. And so he goes in and tells them everything that they're doing that's wrong and whatever. He kind of sends in either his wife or one of the other people who works with him, like a bartender he knows or something, kind of scope it out. And then, yeah, he's like, you do this and this and this wrong and you're stupid and you're dumb and da-da-da-da-da. But he brings in like a cook and a bartender and they train the staff and then they do like a remodel on the bar and change the name usually and whatever and fix what the problem is and then have a big grand reopening. One of the cool things they did the Blue Frog and they did the Abbey in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, the Abbey? I've been to the Abbey.
Mm.
That really kind of has gone downhill, obviously, in the past few years. But anyhow, there's like two shortened seasons of it. It's on Hulu. You can, I like did it while I was cleaning the house and stuff. I was watching it.
Okay.
You don't have to pay like really great attention to this. It's not Sherlock or something. Now I got totally addicted and I just like watched the episodes like I was, you know, chain smoking them and I don't know. I get into that kind of, that's the kind of reality stuff. I'm not into the housewives or the dating or the blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I mean, to look at this shithole, I'm going to fix it for you stuff.
Wow.
So if you like, yeah, like Kitchen Nightmare stuff.
Yeah.
You check this out. Like I said, it's on Hulu. It's called Bar Rescue. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's kind of fun.
Wow. Well, I actually had two films I saw this week. The first is one of the first films from This American Life.
Yes.
So
did you see it?
It's called Sleepwalk With Me.
Oh, this is one of the best episodes of This American Life.
So it's Mike Birbiglia, who has contributed quite a few. He's very funny. And it's I guess what you would call it is a dramatized reenactment of one of his great stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of his life, of how he became a stand-up comedian. And just, he developed this sleepwalking problem.
Yeah.
And it
talking
went,
like he just, you know, walks to the living room you know, it scares his wife sitting there or something. Or he goes and gets a sandwich out of the fridge. Like he jumps out windows.
Of a hotel.
Yeah.
Like a second story
funny.
Window.
It's scary as hell, though, if you really think about it. But the way he tells it is hysterical.
So they did it kind of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing. So he's talking to the camera and explaining to this. But his girlfriend is played by Lauren Ambrose.
Oh, that's cool.
Very smartly done. And there's a lot of other people that you will recognize that make cameo appearances. I mean, it's really the two of them and then his parents.
Okay.
who you will recognize, and I can't think of their names. Well, Tyrell Kane plays his mother.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And his dad is, and I can't think, I know who he is. I mean, he's one of those characters, actors that's in everything. And I'm drawing a blank at the moment, so I apologize. But you'll see John Lutz from 30 Rock. You'll see David Wayne from The State, all making these appearances. But it's a really funny... Oh, it's James Rebhorn who plays his dad.
Okay.
Famous character actor. Kristen Schaal is in it. You know, it's like all of his friends. And Ira Glass is in it as a wedding photographer in a blink you miss it cameo.
Okay. That's so cool.
I found it really touching, really funny. Now, some of the other people that we were with didn't find it as funny. They were expecting kind of a laugh-out-loud comedy, and it's not.
Oh, well, that's their own problem then.
Right.
They obviously don't listen to This American Life enough.
But it's a very compelling piece, and it was a very well-done film. Now, it's playing art house stuff. This is not a mainstream.
Right. But it's pretty big. They've had a huge push, and the fans have really pushed to have it in theaters.
Okay.
And they did a whole Twitter thing like, tell your theater to have this. And they got booked in a whole bunch more theaters.
Well, I saw it at the Portsmouth
Music Hall. Just grassroots campaigning for it.
Okay. Well, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's definitely worth seeing. Now, the other film that I saw was Cloud Atlas. The Wachowskis and Tom Twyker's Cloud Atlas.
Clark saw this, too.
Did he? Okay.
Yes, you two should talk about it. I'm sure that'd be an interesting discussion.
So my parents are in town visiting, and this is the movie they wanted to go see. And I'm like, are you sure?
Oh,
because it's 3 hours, and it's very esoteric.
Yep. Maybe not a parent.
Well, my dad loved it. My mother didn't understand it. My dad didn't completely understand it. Well, let's put it this way. Anybody who sees this is going to have to see it multiple times to try and understand.
Yeah, no one's going to completely understand this. There's no way you're getting every little nuance of it.
So how I picture this and how I want to explain this, it's very difficult to put this movie into words. It's like the sci-fi Lawrence of Arabia. It's that epic. I mean, it's beautifully shot. It's masterfully edited because there are all these disparate threads. These are all these separate stories that take place in nonlinear points in time, featuring the same actors playing different characters who have – each one of them have this strange kind of birthmark that looks like a shooting star.
Okay.
So for the first hour, you're sitting there going, none of this makes any sense to me. Because you get a little piece here and a little piece there and a little piece here and a little piece there. Then the threads start to tie together and it starts to gain momentum and then the action starts to pick up and then you're starting to become really invested in the story and then you start to get the payoffs. Now, by the time it gets to the end, it's this really emotional human interest piece. It's what do you consider humanity to be? Because there's a whole piece about synthetic beings and sentient synthetic beings. Ooh. And at what point do you start treating them as humans and how we can change the world? And there's so much in this movie to just digest. It's impossible in one sitting to do it.
Yeah.
Does it all work? No. Tom Hanks... out of the multiple characters he plays, there's only one that is so far removed from what we know Tom Hanks to be.
Okay.
And it's this British author with this Cockney accent who does this. I'm not going to spoil any of this stuff because you have to see this movie in order to really appreciate it. But I don't know. Larry and Lana do these amazing films, right? Like The Matrix and even Speed Racer, which was a terrible movie, still looked
phenomenal.
But it was
gorgeous.
Yes. So they don't do anything half-assed. And this is far from half-assed, but it's going to be a love it or hate it thing. I'm sorry to say the movie got over. Some people clapped. Other people sat there and went, what? But nobody walked out. And this was 3 hours. And I would expect people to say, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't get this.
Yeah, like, what the hell is this? Yeah.
But it was
so at least it caught their attention. They were willing to see where it went.
Right. And there's some great comedy. Jim Broadbent does these great characters. Susan Sarandon is it. But there's like a group of pensioners that try and escape from an old people's home. And there's some really touching stuff. There's some really thought-provoking stuff. There's some really funny stuff. There's almost something in here for everybody. But as we transition into talking about the box office from this weekend, it made no money whatsoever.
Yeah, well, nothing did.
Which is weird.
To be honest, like, nothing made money.
What was going on that kept
this weekend?
Home?
I don't know if people are, like, were too busy, shopping for water and supplies, like, for, you know, Frankenstorm or what. But Argo came in first.
Which has been out for 3 or 4 weeks now.
Right, but $12.3 million.
Yeah. I don't get
That's
it.
That's it.
I don't get it.
Ridiculous. And then Hotel Transylvania with $9.5 million. Cloud Atlas just under that with like $9.4 million.
So bizarre.
But, and then Paranormal Activity 4, like $8.5 million. And Taken 2, $8 million.
And then Silent Hill. Which we thought would clean up because it's another new horror movie.
That only made $8 million. It whacked. Frankenweenie's off the top 10.
Okay.
Which is just pitiful.
Yeah.
So sad. And then, like, Fun Size, you talked about last week, that made, like, $4 million. So it's not... The kids' stuff was doing fairly well, and Hotel Transylvania is still up there.
Right.
But, yeah, nothing made jack.
So strange.
This week.
It just perplexed me.
I don't know what people were doing instead, but we did not go to the movies this weekend.
Well, which doesn't hold up, because now we're transitioning from this award season into holiday season, because we're getting into the November time frame.
Right.
So this coming week, we've got four pictures of note, the first being Bob Zemeckis and Denzel Washington in Flight, about the captain who saves the plane from crashing, but then turns out that he's an alcoholic, and was he the one who actually caused it to crash in the first place?
Oops.
Yeah. Don Cheadle's in this.
Yeah, so let's release that film right before, like, the biggest travel time of the year. That's an excellent choice. Okay.
Of counter-programming, we've got Man with the Iron Fists, which is Quentin Tarantino producing this chop-socky, off-the-wall, Lucy Liu, you know, bizarre...
Yeah.
Disney's latest animated feature, Wreck-It Ralph, which has been promoted the heck out of, which is really kind of the world of video games come to life, and you get to see what happens beyond the screen, you know, how these characters interact with each other. I don't know. And the fourth one is really interesting. Amy Heckerling.
Yes. We all know and love.
Yes.
From
who hasn't done
Clueless
a whole lot.
And then all the way back to Fast Times.
Right. This is a female vampire romantic comedy.
Alrighty then.
About two female vampires in New York City and their exploits. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I mean, with Amy, she doesn't make bad movies.
Yeah, she doesn't, but is anybody going to see this just because it's like, what is it?
I don't know. And
of course the cast is like great. It's Alicia Silverstone is back.
Right.
Working with Amy, but then Kristen Ritter from Don't Trust the Bee.
Right.
Isn't it too? And then we go kind of all over the place. Well, Wallace Shawn is back from like Clueless.
Oh, nice.
Right, but then we have Sigourney Weaver, Richard Lewis, Malcolm McDowell.
It's an incredible cast.
Kind of. Yeah.
But then it's a step
the
before.
Place. Like, who is this aimed at is what I'm trying to figure out.
That's exactly right. And is it just trying to exploit on the whole Twilight Saga thing, which is coming in a couple weeks? I don't know.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this does, because it may do well, just, a little counter-programming, or it may just completely tank, because, like, who is this aimed at? I don't know.
I feel so disconnected from the industry being this far away from it, you know, after being in it for so long, that I feel like there's something I'm missing, like, this should not be happening, but I don't understand why. all right, if you're not going to the box office and you want to know what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, you can head over to DVDverdict.com and click on the DVD releases tab. Some interesting things for Halloween. So Halloween's on Wednesday. On Tuesday, Criterion is releasing Rosemary's Baby, which is Roman Polanski's horror movie starring Mia Farrow.
Yeah, with her little pixie cut.
Yeah, all right.
This is the pixie cut period, yeah.
All right. We've also got a comedy, Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis in The Campaign. Perfect timing for the election.
Yep.
Although I think the election is turning out to be more comedic than anything fictional.
Ugh.
Could possibly. Yeah. The House of Dark Shadows. So we had the Tim Burton reboot. Here's the original feature film that was created by Dan Curtis in 1970 to kind of condense the story so that people could jump onto the television series, which got canceled the following year. So it was a good idea, but it was like maybe 3 or 4 years late. So it's basically, it condenses the story of Barnabas Collins into one feature film length story. But it's a cult classic, has not been available on DVD before. It's going to be coming out on Blu-ray as well, so you might want to check that out. BBC America's Copper, which has turned out, it's an original series about the early days of law enforcement. It turned out to be a great thing, coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week. Here's one, Safety Not Guaranteed. I know there's a lot of people who had some traction around this. It showed up in the office and 100 people requested it this week. We don't have 100 people on staff, but it just seemed like everybody requested it. It stars April from Parks and Rec. And it's a man takes out a classified ad seeking a time-traveling companion.
Okay.
A la Doctor Who. So there's three journalists who get together to go and find out what this story is all about.
But okay.
Definitely a comedy, and I'm curious to see how it plays out because it just seems like there's a lot of buzz around this movie that I know nothing about. And then the other big thing is you've got the Alfred Hitchcock Masterpiece Collection on Blu-ray from Universal, which includes 15 of his films.
Wow.
Including Psycho, The Birds, Rear Window, Vertigo, North.
Okay, so the big ones. This isn't like the original.
Yeah, this isn't like
British little stuff.
I'm sure there are some of those, like Saboteur and things like that.
Right.
I didn't see the
complete
list.
But you get the biggies, too.
Yeah, you get the real big stuff. All right. Nice. If you are more interested or more hooked into streaming media and you still have power after the hurricane, head over to Netflix. I just pulled out three. The beginning of the month is usually loaded with things from Netflix, but this month is kind of a mixed bag. It doesn't have a ton of big-name things, a lot of smaller stuff, but I've pulled out three cult classics here. We've got Harold and Maude from 1971, Bud Cort, Ruth Gordon.
Oh, it's so great, so great.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Now, if you've never seen this, you have to make time to watch this movie. I think I saw it for the first time when I was in junior high or something. They actually showed it at school.
No, they did not.
I did. We watched it at school.
What the hell is wrong with your school? I mean, it's an amazing movie, but that is not appropriate at all.
We saw it in one of our classes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went to the wrong damn Chicago suburb school, I guess.
We've also got Sam Raimi's original horror opus, The Evil Dead, starring Bruce Campbell, which made both of them cult classic heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Barton Fink. So it's John Turturro, right? Coen Brothers,
mm-hmm.
classic. He's a playwright, eccentric playwright.
Yeah, talk about like cult classics right there. You're just naming them all, basically.
Yeah. So definitely showing up November 1st on Netflix. Over at Hulu, again, not a lot of really big-name stuff. If you're a Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan, Mysterious Skin is on there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an intense little...
Yeah, it's intense. It's good.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah. Yeah, if you're a fan of his, you've got to see it. His performance is excellent, but this is not for the faint of heart.
No.
Shall we say.
Not at all. Exit to Eden. Do you remember this?
Oh, my God.
The comedy adaptation.
Yeah, talk about a flapping movie.
But, you know, thinking about 50 Shades of Grey, right, in terms of the S&M stuff.
Yes, and we'll try and take the comedic turn on
right,
that.
Exactly. And it's Rosie O'Donnell and Dan Aykroyd, and I think Dana Delaney.
Yeah, it's Dana Delaney.
Yeah.
All sexed up.
And then we've got another one of those documentaries enlightening us on our food choices or poor food choices, which is called Farmageddon.
Nice name.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So it picks out specific examples of people, like a woman who got her child off of milk and all of his asthma and things started to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But a lot of choices for you guys to explore, and I will hand it over to you for television.
Okay. Well, beginning Monday and then continuing World Series on Fox.
That's right.
So that will be on throughout the week. And then Wednesday on Halloween, ABC has the great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. How do we do it?
So, yeah, so you can settle down. It's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central.
Nice.
So you can sit down with the kiddos and watch that. And then Thursday, ABC has the CMA Awards. That's Country Music Association, if you don't know. And if you don't know, you probably aren't going to watch it anyhow. So Friday, we got a couple new season premiere and series premiere on ABC, Last Man Standing, and then Malibu Country is finally starting.
Lily Tomlin, Reba McEntire show.
Yeah, which her, you know, Reba, her show, that was quite excellent. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And then also on Friday, CBS has Undercover Boss coming back. So that's a TV this week. And in music, I've been talking about Christmas albums already coming out and continuing to come out, but there are a few of them that I am totally fine with. Merry Christmas Baby by Rod Stewart.
Oh.
That should become a classic one, I'm sure. And James Taylor at Christmas.
Oh, wow. I don't think he's ever done a Christmas album before.
Quite lovely. And then, are you ready?
Yeah.
CeeLo's Magic Moment, which is his Christmas album.
Yes.
So, anyhow, whatever your taste is there, there's something Christmassy for you this week.
Nice.
And then also Matthew Broderick and Kelly O'Hara are starring on Broadway in Nice Work If You Can Get It.
Oh.
And the original cast recording of that is coming out.
Cool.
And then really interesting, years and years and years ago, I believe 40 years ago, Stevie Wonder did Talking Book. Well, Macy Gray went and recorded all the songs on it.
Oh, my God.
So it's Talking Book, but it's by Macy Gray.
Where has she been for the last
10 years? Yeah, but it's, you know, really, as she says, quote, "This is my own personal gift to Stevie Wonder."
Wow.
So kind of cool there,
yeah.
In music. And in books, we have a new Martha Stewart, except she's British and has a great ass. Pippa Middleton.
Oh, no.
Has released a, like, home entertaining book. It's called Celebrate, A Year of Festivities for Families and Friends.
Now, I don't know if you saw the clip. There was a video clip of her at a school promoting this book, right?
No.
She's surrounded by little kids. And
why would you do that to promote? Anyhow.
I don't know, but
not a kid's.
She was talking about doing a princess party. And she was turning to a little girl and talking about it. And the girl turns to her and says, "I don't like princesses."
Including your sister.
Okay, moving
okay.
on.
Okay. So, well, another really interesting thing. The Richard Burton Diaries.
Ooh.
It's actually literally his diaries. I mean, so he gets credit for writing it. And then Chris Williams is the editor on that. So it's all in his own words.
A lot of Elizabeth Taylor stuff going on there, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what's in it, if there's anything we don't know, which I doubt, because we know all about that relationship. But anyhow, J.R. Martinez, who was a member of the military, and he was in a huge explosion and severely burnt, and then he came back to be an activist and then turned into an actor. He was on All My Children, he had a role, and then he was on Dancing with the Stars. Became even a bigger star with that. So he's really an activist, but he's had these other opportunities. He's amazing, amazing. And he is releasing his memoir, Full of Heart, My Story of Survival, Strength, and Spirit. So fans of his or somebody who just, you know, wants to read about an amazing American can pick that up.
Nice.
And then this is interesting. I actually want to read this one. Now, give me a second or, you know, 20 here for the title.
Okay. Oh, geez.
A Year of Biblical Womanhood, How a Liberated Woman Found Herself Sitting on Her Roof, Covering Her Head, and Calling Her Husband Master. It's by Rachel Held Evans, and she took on this experiment. She lived a year, like, as the Bible says.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Like, literally. Like, when she had her period, she slept in a tent in the backyard. Like, she went back Old Testament, the whole thing, and, like, lived its entire year kind of by the rules of the Bible. And this is all about her experience.
That has to be completely ridiculous.
So I think it's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how she feels about it and,
damn,
you know, what she actually did. So very cool. So that's out this week, too.
Nice.
And not out this week, but coming soon,
yes.
The Danish Royal Theater in, you know, Denmark,
yeah.
is producing a new untitled work. And it's going to be at the Red Room Theater in Copenhagen starting in January. And it is The Life of Amy Winehouse.
Shut up.
Yeah, so it's a new musical. So they're going to use her music in it. So that is starting in January. We'll see where it goes from there. I mean, if it's a hit, we'll see if it you know, comes on over to America.
Wow.
But, you know, she's short life, but there's certainly enough in there, you know, for a full production.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that turns out and how that's received.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so from Danish news to Hollywood news.
Okay. Oh, you nothing for theater? Oh, that was theater. Sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't Broadway. Attention. It was theater.
Yes, I was waiting for something else, and I never got it. That was my own thing. Yes, Hollywood news is actually international movie news.
Oh, okay.
Because Skyfall, the new James Bond movie, actually opened in foreign markets this past weekend and pulled in $77 million.
Crap.
34 alone in the U.K.,
Now,
it's not opening here in the States until the 9th, but this thing has already got some major traction going.
Excellent. And it's better than Daniel Craig's other Bond movies have done.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And it also makes sense why Barbara Broccoli has just signed screenwriter John Logan to do the next two Daniel Craig films, because he scripted this one.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep it going.
Oh, I'm so glad. He's so excellent.
Yeah.
They first cast him, I was kind of like, really? I don't know. Well, whatever. We'll see. And I think he is. Oh, I'm going to get crap. I think he's the best.
Really?
So there. I said
it. All right. There you go.
Write me your notes. I don't care. All you Connery fans, bring it.
Well, and this is Sam Mendes directing. So, I mean, Sam is a very talented guy. Has not done much in the way of action adventure. So, I'm really curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah, it's always interesting when somebody really steps outside their box and sometimes hits it out of the park, like Joss Whedon did.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, with the Avengers. I mean, that was totally above and beyond anything he'd done.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's the perfect choice, and we really get to see what they can bring.
Yeah. All right, so from the good news to the bad news.
Okay.
Well, they're working
on... It didn't take long.
No, they're working on Kick-Ass 2 right now, which is director Matthew Vaughn and his cast, so like Chloe Moretz. But it was just announced today that he has pulled out of directing the next X-Men movie, which was the next one on his project. Now, X-Men First Class did gangbusters at the box office.
Right, right.
Got critically acclaimed as one of the best X-Men movies in the franchise. And they were taking one of the best comic book series story arcs and converting it. It's called Days of Future Past, which is a time travel thing. And now it's all up in the air.
Mm.
So, not exactly sure. We couldn't get confirmation on why Matthew's leaving. No, he's got a full plate. I mean, it's understandable that he wants to pull away, but you would think that this is one that he would want to hold on to. Not sure.
Hmm. Okay. I wonder if there's more of a scoop there, or if it's just he had to pick something.
Could be. We'll find out eventually, I'm sure. Step aside, Jason Momoa. Lisa Bonet's husband, because Lionsgate's Conan reboot was a major disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
So Universal is now stepping up with the original star, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, good Lord.
To reprise his role.
Why?
30 years after the last film. I think Conan the Destroyer was 1982.
Okay.
And,
Does anybody want to see this?
I know it's a lot
of your hand. Okay.
No writer or director has yet been named, but Arnold is extremely excited to be back playing Conan again.
Well, no shit, because his damn book didn't fix his image, so he's, you know, going back to the well there, whatever.
All right, and one more piece of news. Our friend Steve Honig, who was our Image Entertainment rep for the longest time, and then went on to do individual publicity for some of Hollywood's most troubled stars, including Miss Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
He's finally quit her. He's had enough. He can't handle it anymore.
That took a while, actually.
It did, and I really...
I think anything over, like, 3 hours is a while dealing with her.
I used to text him anytime Lindsay would do something stupid and go, what the heck is going on? But, no, he's had enough. And sometimes you just can't pay people enough money to handle stuff like this. I mean, there's only so many times you can make excuses as to why she ran her car into somebody's truck. And I don't know. So
yeah, you've got to be like a fairy tale writer to make up crap for her.
So more power to him, and hopefully at some point she gets her act cleaned up before something terrible happens.
Yeah. Well, one more piece of Hollywood news I wanted to mention, speaking of terrible. Singer and actress Natina Reid. She was in 90s girl group stuff, but she was also, I remember, from Bring It On with Kirsten Dunst and Gabrielle Union. She played Gabrielle Union's good friend, cheerleader, in that. She was really excellent. She was hit and killed by a car in Atlanta this weekend. She was, crossing a street, and right now there's nobody's at fault. There aren't charges. It was just one of those freak, horrific accidents.
Yikes.
So, yeah. Yeah, just really sad.
And she leaves behind a 10-year-old son, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a really sad story. So from that sad story to another kind of sad story.
Yeah.
If any of you were just dying to see Kimmy as a blonde, your wish has come true.
What are you talking about?
For Halloween, she dressed up like a mermaid. Like
Kim Kardashian?
Anna from Splash. God. Yeah, Kim Kardashian. Ugh. No, she's my bot. I get to call her Kimmy. she dressed up as like a mermaid with pearl shell boobs and long blonde hair and whatever. And then Kanye dressed up as like a yacht captain and like a white jacket and striped stuff and whatever. But anyhow, if you want to see that, you can Google that. It's pretty much anywhere.
So this would be the first Halloween without the Seal Heidi Klum Halloween party, right? Didn't they have their extravagant?
Yeah, I don't know if she did one. She always did a huge one and did like massive crazy costumes, but that might be on Halloween. So
okay.
I will have to look into that kind of thing.
For next week.
So maybe she's throwing it with her bodyguard this year.
Her boyfriend and bodyguard, yeah.
All righty.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We wish you a happy, safe Halloween. If you're out here on the East Coast with me, batting down the hatches. And we'll see next week how everything played out. But you can always check out our reviews at DVDverdict.com. And until next week, Melissa, take it away.
Pushing forward and arching back, bring me closer to heart attack. Say goodbye and just fly away.